I'm sure you've heard of the metaverse. It's been kind of floating around for the last number of years. But precisely what it is and what it might do for us is probably, you know, relatively unknown to many of you listening as well. I have to say myself, even, I'm not totally au fait with exactly what it is. But earlier today, there was a big announcement that €9 million of an EU project aimed at building metaverse tools for media and the art sector is about to get underway at TUS, the Technological University of Shannon in Athlone. Transmixer, which is funded by Horizon Europe and led by TUS, brings together researchers, design partners and media companies from 19 countries with the goal of creating human-centric tools for remote content production and consumption. To try to demystify that and explain exactly what it is and what this project hopes to achieve, I'm actually delighted to be joined by Dr. Niall Murray. Niall is a local man and he is the head researcher on this project as well and based in TUS in Athlone. Niall, very good evening. I suppose to begin with, just the metaverse, can you kind of sum up quite quickly what the metaverse is?
Well, hi Ronan, and thanks for the opportunity to join you this evening. So basically the idea here, Ronan, is in the last number of years we've heard a lot of talk about augmented reality, virtual reality, virtual worlds. They've become quite mainstream. And the idea of the metaverse is that we will have this kind of single interconnected system of these virtual worlds where people can go, collaborate, work together, do social things together, all of these different kinds of things. So at the moment, a lot of these kind of different experiences or worlds are quite fragmented or siloed. And the idea of the metaverse is that it will connect them together.
It's probably something people may have seen in almost video games where you're not just playing a game, you're pretty much immersed in the world that's been created for you. Are we effectively trying to recreate the world we live in now that we can interact with all these people, be it a business, be it friends, and whatever it might be, albeit online?
Well, I suppose, you know, events like the COVID-19 pandemic kind of brought to the forefront the need to be able to collaborate in a distributed manner in a more effective way. And you know, a lot of us became very familiar with tools like Zoom or Teams or these kind of things. And we also became quite aware of the limitations of those tools. And of course, you know, the environmental aspects of reducing travel are becoming more and more important now. And the idea of the Transmixer project, as you said, which is a pan-European project of 19 partners, is to build a set of tools that allow the creative and cultural sector to collaborate in an effective manner in a distributed way. So they will meet, news broadcasters or journalists, they will meet together in a shared virtual space. They will work together seamlessly, interact seamlessly, manipulate objects together seamlessly. So the idea is that the collaboration isn't just limited to looking at a 2D screen and things like this. We should be able to work as if we were working around a table together.
So you're into things then, areas like virtual reality, augmented reality, or even, as I mentioned, in line with the Transmixer project, extended reality. What are those, you know, breaking them down for people? And I guess, how can they also be used to enhance that experience on the metaverse?
Well, all of these realities are a spectrum, Mona, right? So like you mentioned a couple of different points along that spectrum. So the spectrum in general is called the extended reality spectrum, whereby we're trying to or considering how much digital content is presented in the user's field of view at any given point in time. So, you know, if I'm sitting at home at the table with my family here, we're in the real world, there's no digital content presented, right? Or if I visit, a site like Tom McNoise or something like this, I'm in the real world and I'm seeing the ruins there or the spectacles there. Now, what I can do through technology is, you know, point my smartphone or even an augmented reality head-mounted display. The sensors on that camera or sensors from the cameras can recognize objects in the environment and present digital content overlaid on the real-world environment, right? So I'm in the real world, but I'm looking through the lens of my phone or through a head-mounted display, and augmented content is giving me context-based information on a real-world object. So this is augmented reality. So we're in the real world, but our real-world surroundings are enhanced or augmented by digital content. If we move a little bit further along the spectrum, then we can go to this idea of virtual reality, where all of the content I'm consuming, all the audiovisual content in full 360 is all digital content. So I have no real awareness of what's going on around me. And you often see these clips of people with virtual reality headsets falling over or things like this. You know, they have no awareness of the real world. Everything they're consuming and interacting with is digital content. So So the whole idea of the extended reality, it's a spectrum of how much content is digital content is presented to the user at any given point in time. And in fact, in the Transmixer project, in particularly in the tourism space, we will look at how we can go beyond just audiovisual senses and include, you know, more ecologically tourist experiences that include sense of touch or even potentially sense of smell as a media component.
Wow, you're getting very deep at it then, because I know for many years there's always been this kind of fascination with trying to develop, you know, maybe a television or some sort of a, you know, that will allow you to kind of, you know, maybe sense or get some indication what a certain experience smells like. So take it back, this €9 million project then that is starting in Toulouse as well. What are the primary aims? Like, what do you hope to achieve by the end of this for it? And I know you've kind of touched on how it can be applied there in the tourism sector, but what's the ultimate goal from it?
So the project has almost €9 million funding from the European Commission under the Horizon Europe framework. But we also have a partner from Switzerland who are contributing their own budget. So it's almost nearly €10 million in total. The kind of idea of the project as a whole will contribute three key blocks of technology for the creative and cultural sector. So the first block is around understanding. So, you know, we're all very familiar with social media or the different forms of social media. If I'm a journalist and go to a scene, I capture some video content and things like this. And in the future, that types of content will not just be 2D video. It'll also incorporate what we call volumetric video, where we have this idea of the hologram that you would have seen in sci-fi movies over many years. So in the project, we take an assumption that all of this content exists, and much of it does already. So the first major block of the project is around how can we automatically understand the context of that content. So if I'm at a GAA match and I take a video of someone taking a free or scoring a point or a goal or whatever, the algorithms we will develop will be able to automatically understand the context of that content to know that, say, my own GAA club, Pádraig Pearson Roscommon, are playing a match down in Hyde Park, for example. And the AI algorithms that we will develop will understand this. So what that will allow then is journalists or news broadcasters or different CCS professionals to actually be able to access the automatically annotated content to use it to create new news stories of the future. And that's the second major block. The first block is understanding the content. The second major block is collaborating to create this new experiences based on this understanding. So what will happen in the second block then is the distributed users will be based all over the world, or different parts of Ireland. They can come together in a shared virtual space. They will collaborate as if they were co-located. And they will have access to the annotated content from the understanding engine that they will use to create the new stories. That then, or the output of that block, is the consumption engine, where we as end users, so I'm listening to your show tonight, I'm an end user, I'm consuming this content. And we can consume content in new ways. So again, if I use a sports analogy, you know, if you're ever watching a match at the weekend and you have a group of friends who have a particular interest in it, there's hundreds of WhatsApp messages being shared between you as the match is going on. So the idea here is that, well, we actually integrate this into the single platform that I'm actually consuming or interacting with this content in a collaborative manner with my peers. So this is the kind of final element. And we will use XR across the creation and the consumption elements, and we will use AI across all three components. So it essentially will build tools for the understanding of content, for the creation of content, and the consumption of content.
And that can, when you apply that then, say, to the arts sector, like you could have in a play taking place maybe in Dunamaze in Portlaoise or in the New Arts Centre here in Tullamore, and yet you could have an audience all across the world engage in this, but not just actually watching, but interacting with the audience, possibly even the actors on stage, all via the metaverse.
Exactly. So it moves beyond this kind of idea that, you know, my experience of with that performance that you just mentioned there is under the discretion of the director or the producer. So what it will allow me to do is I can decide what view I have of the experience. So imagine if it's a play or it's a dance or opera or whatever, I can select what angle of the actor I want to view. If you understand me, so you have the ability to actually move around in the environment on any angle or any actual aspect we want. So if I go back to the, or if you talk about the kind of the arts aspect there. you know, if there's a particular type of dance movement that I want to actually understand in a better way, I can switch to whatever angle I want of the dancer to see how they're shaping their arm or controlling their arm or what way they're moving their arm to really make it a personalized experience for myself. You know, so there's lots of applications of that. They're really, you know, it's obvious actually the potential applications in terms of learning, in terms of, you know, engagement with the experiences in a completely personalized and different way.
And it's quite interesting because when you mentioned there about maybe viewing a performance from different angles, anybody who's familiar with gaming, that's something they're doing, you know, all the time and have been doing it for maybe 2 decades, because most major games will allow you to change the angle you're looking at it from. So while it might sound very strange and alien to some people, for some people it's very, very normal. But Niall, thank you so much for coming on this evening and trying to break down exactly what it is and what the metaverse and the role it can play. I know we're talking about the arts and kind of culture sector here. The project is expected to run for about 3 years. It's going to hold its kickoff meeting on October 25th and 26th in Athlone, and all I can say is the very best of luck with the project and looking forward to some future updates on it.
No problem, Ronan. Thanks very much. And I'm delighted to also add, Ronan, we have three partners from Ireland in the project. So VRAI, a virtual reality and an artificial intelligence company based out of Dublin. TG4, I hope, are going to join quite shortly. Ourselves and Toos. You know, so it's fantastic for Ireland Inc. that, you know, projects at this kind of level that we have a significant stakeholder in the actual work. It's really great. So I look forward to myself.
Absolutely. Once you don't replace radio presenters, that's the main thing anyway. So thanks a million. All the very best with that going forward. So there you go. I mean, and the show where we kicked off by talking about job creation and looking at where, you know, it's often said that the jobs that your children will be working in haven't even been created yet. Nobody knows what they are. They don't currently exist. Stuff like this is potentially going to fill that role, and you know, they'll all be working in these areas, and we'll have to pick, as parents, you have to try and pick up the language and lingo and try and navigate them through the education and college system to make them suitably qualified. But anyway, no better place to start than Toos. Time for a quick break. After that, time to find out about who and what are Finfluencers and what role are they playing in building trust for some of the big financial brands. That's coming very shortly.